Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Those hostages aren't back. I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Can you elaborate?
And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is.
There you have Donald Trump. What was that, like a week ago from today?
Yeah.
Pushing the issue that, and he reiterated this in a couple times because they continue to ask about this specific thing. He had the guy who was in process of making the negotiations to get some sort of deal done between Hamas and Israel and get the hostages back specifically. He said it needs to be done before I take office. He repeated and reiterated it wasn't a situation they were looking for him for to be rectified once he took office. He said it needed to be done before he takes office. And now we see the breaking news out of the Middle East there that at least for a 6 week period of time, a deal has been reached. I'm going to read to you the Fox News report on this breaking news. Just what are we, 5 days before President Trump is once again President Trump? Fox News reports Israel and Hamas have agreed to a ceasefire deal that also ensures the release of hostages. Fox News has confirmed. Quote, a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal was reached following the Qatari prime minister's meeting with Hamas negotiators and separately Israeli negotiators in his office. Separately, a senior Hamas official confirmed to Fox News that a deal was reached. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office has yet to confirm the deal. Reuters also reported that a deal has been reached, citing an official briefed on the agreement. The conflict, which began with Hamas's brutal attacks on October 7th, 2023, has left over 1,200 Israelis dead, more than 250 taken hostage, and thousands of others killed on both sides. From Fox News, President-elect Trump, who threatened last week if a deal wasn't struck before his inauguration day that, quote, all hell will break out. That's what we just heard in that clip in the Middle East, quickly offered his praise on Truth Social. President Trump wrote, this epic ceasefire agreement could only happen as a result of our historic victory in November, as it signaled to the entire world that my administration would seek peace and negotiate deals to ensure the safety of all Americans and our allies. I am thrilled American and Israeli hostages will be returning home to be reunited with their families and loved ones. The deal, brokered by Qatari negotiators and facilitated by Egyptian intermediaries, also saw significant involvement from the United States. Both the outgoing Biden administration and the incoming Trump administration applied strategic pressure to finalize the agreement, despite concerns about Hamas rearming and internal tensions with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition. Sources told Fox News Digital that a weekend meeting between Netanyahu and Trump's incoming Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, led to the breakthrough. Witkoff's assurances reportedly convinced Netanyahu to accept the deal, despite threats from a right-wing party to withdraw from the coalition if it passed. The terms of this deal essentially lay this out as a six-week process, and then they will revisit and continue this process. Of course, the circumstances and the context of a deal taking place in 6 weeks look very different than the one currently taking place right now. I've only heard stories. I was not alive during the hostage crisis under Jimmy Carter. But my recollection is this looks a lot like Reagan. And Donald Trump being able to be a part of these negotiations and make part of his demand that this take place before he is sworn in. There's no way that you can say Joe Biden would have gotten this deal done by himself. And if Kamala Harris were to be the incoming president, that this deal would be taking place in this capacity. If anything, potentially more capitulation to Iran, which is what we saw immediately with the Biden administration coming in, and prior to the Biden administration, the Obama administration, you know, pallets of catch and such. Big win for Donald Trump. He's not even the president yet. So
it
much
is.
Winning.
Well, the big win will come. This is sort of the tip of the iceberg, because the big win will come when we see if there's follow through. There's been agreements that have happened so far. The difference is that Donald Trump's going to be president. So will that be the reason for these things to not fall apart? Because they've had agreements, but they don't really go anywhere. This one, if it goes somewhere, it'll be because you have somebody with a firm hand in Washington, D.C. now.
And I mean, to listen to President-elect Trump's demand that this take place before he swears the oath of office once again, if this isn't a perfect deal, he clearly stated that something needed to take place before he was sworn in. So they were on a ticking clock, and they were able to get something done. It seems as though there would be an eagerness to apply some sort of contract between these two parties, and to do it for the face of saying, you're going to get this done. You're going to do something very public here before I take office. That's going to happen. And if you believe that Donald Trump will do what he says, which is exact all hell to pay, you're going to get something done. Doesn't that seem very different than the current administration's foreign policy of don't? Please? I mean, he should have been at least polite about begging.
Well, he had to sound tough anyway, even though there was no muscle behind it.
Fox, go ahead.
The timing of this is no accident. Clearly, this is because you have a new U.S. president coming in who's going to be very, very firm on these things. So it's all a matter of watching this deal come together, because it still kind of is, even as we speak.
Vicky says on YouTube, I was alive then, and it looks, all caps, exactly.
Interesting.
Like Reagan, which is a story that has permeated time, where I know about the hostage crisis. I know that they were there for a long time, and I know Reagan made a demand, and they were like, okay.
Yeah.
We won't bother you anymore. Ben Affleck made a movie about it, my recollection mm-hmm. is.
And still took shots at Reagan, which was super cool of him.
Yeah. Fox News goes on to say, over 42 days, 33 Israeli hostages are expected to be released. Early stages will focus on civilian women, children, and female soldiers, followed by elderly men. The final hostage in this group is scheduled for release on the 42nd day. On the 16th day, the second phase will begin, addressing the release of younger men, soldiers, and the return of remains. Netanyahu assured hostage families that every captive is accounted for in the deal. Approximately 1,000 Palestinian prisoners will be freed in exchange, with murder convicts barred from returning to the West Bank. Instead, they will be sent to Gaza, Qatar, or Turkey. The ceasefire will also facilitate significant humanitarian aid to Gaza, with up to 600 trucks of supplies entering daily. By the 22nd day, displaced residents will be allowed to return to northern Gaza. Qatari and Egyptian teams will manage vehicle inspections, while pedestrian crossings will not require checks. The IDF will withdraw from the Nitzarim corridor, but maintain a limited presence along the Philadelphia route. I hope I said that correctly. So it's a very regimented layout on these terms. And of course, after the amount of time that all of this has taken place, it's not like, all right, we're done here. There is going to be a new sheriff in town, and we will see continued pressure there for peace. And I don't, you know, where are the Abraham Accords when you need them? Where are it's there with the leadership that implemented them? How quickly can we get back to a place where everyone's like, well, we can make a lot more money around here if we're not killing each other and destroying our land? I guess the question is who's making money off of what?
Yeah, the Abraham Accords still exist, so I guess that's good. I mean, they're hanging by a thread. They haven't really achieved any of the big goals that they were intended to over the last 4 years, but they're still there, so there's a framework for Donald Trump to step back in. I am encouraged by just seeing that you know, in Tel Aviv, people are out demonstrating. You know, Fox News is covering this and showing it in Tel Aviv, that people seem like, if not hopeful, at least like peeking around the corner going, hey, maybe this is something. You know, there's a lot of people with signs and demonstrating, and so hopefully something is happening. It's clear that this isn't just the same ceasefire deal that has existed a few times under Biden.
It can't be, because it's not Biden.
Exactly. This is something that everybody's saying, okay, is this different this time? Is it different? We're waiting to see.
Yeah.
When I was listening to the news that broke about this, whenever I was listening to the Pam Bondi hearing, and they broke in and they're like, hey, new ceasefire. The report that came out basically said that Hamas was trying to hold out, and then the leadership in Qatar, where these in Qatar, where these meetings were taking place, said, no, you need to take this deal that's on the table. And that was kind of it. And then away they went, and they got the deal done. And to the point about the Abraham Accords, another expert on Fox says this paves the way for the revival of them. So, it 5 days out and things are already changing. I don't know. I'm starting to feel pretty optimistic.
Oh, I've been feeling optimistic. Every day that we get closer, it's like, all right, now we're starting to see some results, and it's amazing, isn't it? This is just a point that you can vote for reality or you can vote for fiction. And what you've been sold for so long, something that was really materialized, an idea that has existed for a long time in our country, which is based on Marxism, was able to come together and present itself in something that was palatable for the American people in Barack Obama. He told you that he wanted to change the way our country was. He said it, his words. He wanted to change the fundamentals of the United States of America. And boy, did he. He changed them so dramatically. I've said this before and I will repeat it, and I'll say it again and again and again, because it's really important to understand. We have real problems. Our real problems need real solutions. I'll just quote what Brian Kilmeade just said on the show while I was standing in here getting ready. And I even said to Ryan, I'm like, that is a really good point. When you look at Los Angeles right now, and you see it's on fire, it doesn't matter if you are super wealthy, middle class, or poor. That fire did not pick and choose whose houses it consumed. All of those people need help right now. And if you are in government, if you are a politician in elected office, and this isn't where your skills are allowed to shine, your ability to be immediately with the people who you serve and provide them quick and expedited processes and assistance to get safe and secure and back up on your feet immediately. If this is not where you shine, get the hell out of politics. Go somewhere else. Go be a pundit on cable news and just jabber away. Don't serve people, because you're only serving yourself. If all you do is go on TV over and over and over again to talk about who else's problem this is or whose blame it should be, and you are an elected official, you have to be in that position as an elected official to serve the people, especially in their immediate grave time of need. And in Los Angeles, top to bottom, you're seeing people who have only been in elected office to serve themselves. And we've watched that the last 4 years with the Biden administration. Lord knows who's at the actual epicenter of making decisions for that Biden White House. We've been told and commanded on what we need to identify as a real problem in our country. We've been told white nationalism is a real problem in our country. We've been told that those Christians that might attend school board meetings who don't want like pornography existing in their young child's library, we're told that they are on the top of a list of people we need to consider security threats. We've been told that if your skin color is a certain color, you need to get to the back of the line. That's called racism. And then we're told that the problem is racism. And our silence as somebody who's not an approved qualifying victim in any particular instance, we're told that we need to sit down and shut up. And these are the big problems that need to be fixed. And in the meantime, what do? We watch the people profit in Black Lives Matter. We watch them profit, buy themselves mansions that they don't even pay taxes on, that they don't even maintain. They take the money from people who actually want to solve real issues that are facing all sorts of colors of people. They take real concerns, they profit on them, and then they serve themselves on them. And it is a plague upon this country. And in last November, we did rectify that to an extent. But the question will be, what kind of implementation will we see with this new administration to make sure that we insulate ourselves from people seeking out these offices like the Gavin Newsoms of the world, the Karen Basses of the world, the Joe Bidens and Kamala Harrises of the world, who seek out those offices to ensure their power, their wealth, their prestige, and to hell with everybody else who got them there. What will the Trump administration do? Well, I haven't even talked about the Pam Bondi hearing this morning. I can't wait to play for you an exchange between Senator Whitehouse and Pam Bondi, who is looking to be the Attorney General of the United States. This is unreal stuff. You'd hardly believe it. The whole system is about to change in 5 days, and America is getting her country back. You are getting your country back, but it's always been a republic if you can keep it. And we are teetering right now, finally, once again, leaning back into the place where the people are in charge. Thank the Lord Almighty that we are in that position. Watching what's taking place on our shores, watching what's taking place on our border, and seeing what Donald Trump is able to manifest when it comes to peace and security throughout the globe before he's even in office, buckle up. We've got a great show for you. We've got peace breaking out in the Middle East, and we've got Lou Holtz on at 125.
Woo!
What a day! What a day!
That is quite a day.
Lou Holtz, yes, that Lou Holtz is going to be with us at 125, and we're going to talk to him about what we've discussed here on the show quite a bit, culture shift. Our YouTube live chat poll for today, is there a religious culture shift taking place in America? Yes or no? Now, that's up for your own interpretation. You vote yes, you vote no. And if you want to clarify your vote, you just leave a comment in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. And we will feature those comments throughout the course of the show. But we're going to ask him. We've played a lot of those clips. Notre Dame, certainly. Catholic University, not so surprising. But boy, I'm not rooting for Ohio State, but I see a lot of those people that I'm going to be in heaven with, because they are using their faith and putting it into action on both sides of the football. And we're going to see a lot of that face-to-face next Monday in the national championship game. But we're going to ask Coach Lou Holtz about it at 125. Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll and tell us if you think there's a religious culture shift taking place in America. And keep it right here. We're going to have my friend Todd Sivia back in studio. When we come back, we can even take some of your questions. He is an attorney. He's an owner of Sivia Law. He is a sponsor of the show and a friend of mine. So we'll talk to Todd when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. There's something happening in that just took place in Congress, and it's an important issue that we want to talk about. And when I'm thinking about tax issues and making sure planning that for whatever comes after you stop working and estates and all that stuff, I go to Todd Sivia, of course, a great friend of mine and of this show. He's a sponsor of the Annie Fry Show. He's an attorney. And he's the owner of Sivia Law. You can go to SiviaLaw.com to learn more. But there's been a lot of talk. I even gotten a back and forth, Todd, on Twitter regarding the Social Security Fairness Act. So this is something new that took place, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Effective January 5th, Biden signed a law, and it's called the Social Security Fairness Act. For years upon years, if you drew a pension, so if you're a state or federal worker, you wouldn't qualify for Social Security, or you'd get a very minimal amount in your Social Security benefits. And so you couldn't get Social Security and the pension. It was either or. And based upon this new act, it has changed that. So now any government worker, whether it's a teacher, firefighter, police officer, judges, and things of that sort, those individuals now can get the full vesting of what their Social Security would have been.
So I want to pull it back a little bit. Yeah. Brad and Ryan are way smarter than I am. I'll just admit it right there. Go ahead, Ethan, clip that. And I think that it's a worthy discussion to just talk about, like, how does Social Security actually work to begin with? So maybe they understand this, but I want to know, like, I've been paying into Social Security forever. I worked at PK's in Edwardsville. It was my first job, making $3 an hour bussing tables.
Yep.
And there was a Social Security line that would come out of my paycheck when I was doing that. Of course, it still is the case here. I've never worked for the government. I've never had a public service job. Yep. I've been paying into it. do I just turn a certain age and get a very specific amount that everybody gets, or is it based on how much I've put in?
It's based. I can go ahead and answer that.
Shush.
But, oh, okay.
Shush.
Okay.
Shush.
Todd, you're here. Why don't you go ahead?
So basically,
should have the laugh track there.
As you accrue it over a certain period of time, and it's based upon your age. So there are certain age markers.
Are we 67?
Yeah,
are we
70? We're 67.
Okay.
So, you know, and as you get older, when you hit that magical time period, you have a choice. You can take that money at that point in time and start collecting that benefit. But if we go way back, you know, the 1930s, when this was first established, you know, the people that were going to take Social Security was going to be very, very few people.
Yeah.
You know, people did not live to age 65. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one thought that, you know, I think it was like, I saw a statistic, it was like 1 in 40 people would actually claim that.
Wow.
You know, and now we're down to, you know, 1 in 2, you know, it's supporting for every one employee that's working, for every four people that are working, it supports one person.
Whew.
So,
because the money going in right now is being immediately taken out to pay for people. It's not like the money that's coming out of my paycheck is going in an Annie Fry account for Annie Fry's retirement down the line.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. You know, everybody, have lots of babies right now. Gonna need it.
And that there's always a risk of, you know, I mean, that's one of the problems with Social Security is, you know, is it, will it go defunct? But, you know, that's politicians, sure. Let them deal with that issue.
So we're speaking with Todd Sivia here in studio, SiviaLaw.com, if you want to learn more and work with him. He's in Missouri and Illinois. So what I hear you saying is, if Ryan Wiggins and his lucrative career puts in more into Social Security than I do, he's going to get more out of Social Security than I do?
There's a certain dollar amount, mm-hmm. that it's, you know, that they've figured out that's what you're going to get. You're probably, you may not ever take as much money as you put in.
But you're supposed to be investing in it.
But
politicians.
Yeah. Politicians.
We'll go back to that. So,
that's why you're here, Annie.
Yeah, exactly. Just to rattle cages. So now that we find out with this Social Security Fairness Act that people who have paid into the Social Security system and are receiving a pension are going to be able to benefit from both. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's retroactive to 2024.
What if you've never paid into Social Security? What if your first job was a public service job?
So if you don't have anything in the system, then you don't get anything.
So if you never worked until you got your first job as a teacher or a police officer or I don't know, mayor or something, if you never worked and had Social Security taken out of your paycheck, you're not now going to get Social Security.
Correct.
So you're telling me, Todd, that the only people who are now able to draw from Social Security are people who had prior to public service or post public service had money taken out of their check.
Absolutely.
And put into the Social Security system.
Yeah. Yeah. And before the break, we were kind of chatting. You know, my wife is a school teacher,
mm-hmm.
and she worked for, I think, 20 years.
Man, you fit right in here. We're all married to teachers. We only allow guests that are married to teachers.
There you go. And she would have received that public benefit. You know, with teacher retirement and things of that sort, she would have been disqualified for Social Security. Well, you know, she got out of the public schools. She's now in private. So she's been paying in for the past 10 years into the Social Security, and she would not have received any kind of benefit associated
with it. See, this has been such a political... People have reacted to this so politically. I believe Republicans voted for this and Democrats.
Yeah,
I think
it was
a very bipartisan bill. And it's kind of it's like everything, which is politics. It's just marketing. Do you want people to be mad today? All right, let's just say it this way.
Yeah.
My husband is one of those people, too. He's technically a second career teacher. He got a degree with me in TV radio, and that worked out. So now he is a very successful teacher. But he worked in the TV radio industry, and then he worked teaching for 4 years in private school. And it wasn't until he was in his 30s till he was working in the public school system. And I'm telling you what, like, all through college and everything, he was working two and three jobs, and that money was going into Social Security. And the day he took qualified for a public pension, everything he invested into Social Security was no longer accessible to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah. I mean, most teachers I meet with, and you know, they only get like $400 or $500 for Social Security. Now their pensions are you know, pretty nice.
Until they run out, but go on.
Well, but but, you know, there's always this back and forth of, you know, a lot of times you can claim your spouse's Social Security too. Well, that was also covered in the Windfall Act. So that is eliminated too. So you're not gonna, if a spouse dies,
yeah,
you're gonna benefit from it.
So Todd, I want to ask you about the other end of this, because it's never just simply cut and dry. Like, this is all good or this is all bad. What are the major detractions from the Social Security's Fairness Act? What are people pushing back on right now after this has taken place? Anything that you can speak to about the problems that might come from it?
Well, figuring out when to claim Social Security is always is going to be something to be knowledgeable about. You know, that you now have this benefit. But two, if you did claim Social Security and you are on Social Security and you're a teacher, firefighter, or anybody else like that, you will be receiving a big check, and be ready for it. So, you know, you've got all of 2024's money accrued that is going to drop into your account,
mm-hmm.
and that's all taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's going to be a kind of a surprise. Oh, oops. Yeah, that's great that I'm getting this. But this year, be ready for it, because it will throw things off from a tax perspective. So, you know, just be ready. So mm-hmm. watch your required minimum distributions, which are required after a certain age, from pulling out of IRAs and things of that sort. Minimize your income.
So, Todd, you know, I talk a lot about how you've helped my family. We got our trust established. You've worked with other family members that I have, and they all rave about their experience of working with you. It is January. People, I got my W-2 email, like, this is in, and I'm always trying to get that done. The second I have all the documents, I want to file.
Yeah.
What is your advice to people right now who, anything new in 2025 filing taxes right now for those 2024 taxes that you want to make sure people are aware of?
For employers, this is a if you own a business or anything else like that, it's a good time to look and see if you want to offer 401ks or retirement plans. There is a great tax credit that's available to those individuals. It is dollar for dollar match on any kind of expense that you may have, up to $5,000, plus any contributions that the employer is giving. You get a dollar for dollar match, up to $1,000 per employee. That was a kind of, that's been one, not a lot of people know about, but
when you go through and you're planning out your trust,
yeah,
or, you know, your powers of attorney and everything that go along with that, when you're putting things into an estate and getting that all lined up, which is what you were an expert at, Todd, how much of what you do for people is based on tax implication?
Oh.
Is it like all of it?
There's a lot. I mean, we're dealing with issues, you know, whether we're talking about in Illinois, the estate tax, you know, it's a lower amount. It's $4 million. So I'm dealing with that. But the traditional view of IRAs and how you have beneficiaries set up for that is, you know, that's all tax implications as well.
You ever get a hold of somebody's plan, estate? Maybe they had something. I bet you deal with a lot of people who had something put together like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, probably super out of date. Maybe that's better than nothing. Do you ever get a hold of something and then at the end you've like saved them just a boatload of money?
Oh, all the time. I mean, because just setting up beneficiaries and knowing which beneficiaries to set it up for example, minors. I mean, if I, you know, with some preparation, so I got to give that caveat,
mm-hmm.
But with some preparation, giving minors part of your IRA on either the first to die or the second to die, I mean, they're tax-free up to $12,500. So, you know, I'm saving, you know, at least anywhere between, you know, just in for to deal with a minor, that's $4,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's 1 year. And if we do that across multiple years, we're, you know, the savings and taxes is astronomical if you kind of run.
Very cumulative.
Yeah. If you run pencil to paper of what you can do and think about, and a lot of people don't really think about it, or you can just not plan and give it to your kids, and all of a sudden they get this time bomb, i.e. your 401ks.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're talking about retirement accounts and things like that, and Social Security. All that can drop into one of your kids, and it'll throw them into the 30% tax bracket.
Real quick before we let you go, we're speaking with Todd Sivia of Sivia Law, SiviaLaw.com. What about those people that you talked about? Okay, so mom and dad didn't plan accordingly,
yep.
But they passed away.
Yep.
Now you're the kid, and you're like, oh my gosh,
right?
This is a ton of money, but I don't know what to do. Do you talk to those people?
Oh yeah, all the time. You know, because educating them on how do you take that money and be efficient with it, making sure that it's in a tax. You know, mm-hmm. You're thinking it from a tax perspective. You know, it's very, very key.
One of the other things that Todd works with is you've got your real estate license. You understand yep. property and all of that stuff. I really encourage you, if you're listening right now and you have questions, if you want to know more information, to contact Todd. He's wonderful. I personally am a client of his. Family members of mine are clients of his. He's a whiz when it comes to these types of things. But I'm really glad that we talked about that Social Security Securities Fairness Act that was just signed into law, bipartisan, signed by Joe Biden. And it is political. Have you heard about that, Ryan? Did you know about it?
I didn't know anything about that.
Your microphone.
I didn't know anything about it.
Really?
No, I've not even heard of it.
Has your wife, she's always been a private educator. So I
No, she actually started in public.
So this would probably affect her.
Yeah.
And your wife is a public educator.
Always public.
But she probably has had a paycheck before she paid into Social Security.
Even for myself, I was a substitute teacher for a while in the public school system, and I paid into TRS.
Yeah.
When I was doing that, not Social Security. At least I don't think I was paying into Social Security. And I had jobs before that and jobs after that, so this affects me too.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's small, you can get out of it, but you know.
Is there a way that people can take this? Is there a way that people can take advantage of what was just done right now to screw the taxpayer?
Oh, well, I mean, it covers anybody that has a large pension. You know, you look at somebody that has multiple pensions that are making $200,000 or $300,000 a year.
Now they're going to get Social Security,
and now they get Social Security on top of that.
But just to reiterate, though, they only get the Social Security value that they paid into.
Correct. It's based upon the number of credits and it's 40 credits, so it's 10 years worth of work.
I really feel like the concern that I have as a taxpayer here is the taxpayer dollar, the size of the pensions that they're getting, more than if you paid X into Social Security, you should be qualified to take X out of Social Security.
Right.
And if people are like, but they're getting massive pensions, well, then let's talk about the taxpayer funded pensions that they're getting, as opposed to as a tax paying citizen. If I pay into something,
yeah.
I think I should be able to get that out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe there is a problem here, but I don't think that the Social Security's Fairness Act is necessarily the problem. It might be the overly bloated and multiple taxpayer funded pensions that exist.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you asked him, because the whole time I'm going, well, there's got to be like an other side to this.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's it. That is the other side, is that, well, if you have a big pension, but it's still just what you paid in.
Right.
And like, if you want to, there are people who are complaining about exactly what Todd was saying,
yep.
That if you, oh, well, these people are getting six-figure pensions times two or three because they've been in all of these different places, and now they're going to get Social Security too. Well, stop for a minute. Do you want, like, I don't, the problem here is not the money that got taken out of someone's paycheck and put into Social Security. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there are a lot of people like Todd, like you said, your wife, your wife, Ryan, your wife, probably Brad, mm-hmm. my husband, all have paid into this. And there are no six-figure pensions coming our way.
No.
No.
In fact, it would be fiscally punitive. So it's like it's a convenient thing for me, for people on the right to shake their fist at the sky about how terrible it is that they're going to pull Social Security too on top of their pensions. Whine and moan about the pensions. That's the problem.
Well, and I don't think it's based upon what I saw. It's really not. It won't be a big hit to the Social Security. Mm-hmm. It'll be a hit, but it's not going to reduce it by 15 years of what the pension fund has. But we're talking about maybe 6 months to 2 years or something along those lines where it's impacting the viability of Social Security. So it's not like this, you know, is going to impact a lot of people
bankrupt the system.
Bankrupt the system that's already
bankrupt.
It's already bankrupt. It's already bankrupt.
Yeah.
Everybody, listen, stick your finger in the pie.
It's only ever been Social Security for us, and we've always known we're screwed. So welcome to the club, folks. All right. Todd Sivia, thank you for being here with us.
Not a problem.
Great information. I've had conversations about the Social Security's Fairness Act with people. I'm so glad we could get some clarity for that today. Yeah. Check them out at civialaw.com. You can call them directly at 833-995-WILL. A very smart move on your part. I say that as a client myself. And we're so glad to have him be a friend of the Annie Fry Show. Quick break when we come back. Ryan Wiggins improves this hour even more with Wiggins America.
Darn right.
We'll be right back.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
Yeah, tequila time. Thanks for being here at 12:50, Ethan.
12:50 tequila time. On a Wednesday.
Yes.
Happy hump day.
Tequila Mockingbird.
What?
Nothing.
Is that a thing?
It's a joke.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah, there you are. There we are. Yeah. Oh.
You're in prime time dad form.
That sounds like...
Yeah, that's kind of a dad joke.
That sounds totally like the hot, frosty joke. Version of that book.
It does kind of. This is ways to help you save even more money. We started talking about this yesterday, how to change your relationship with money. This is practical advice.
Lesson one, hire Todd Sivia.
Yes, that is lesson one. Lesson two, here are things to buy at the dollar store.
Oh, God.
This won't save you quite as much as if you were to call Todd Sivia. But these
but
are things you should be buying at the dollar store. Now, keep in mind, the dollar store is no longer just a dollar. It is $1.25. But it's still a deal comparatively. When you are buying, anything come to mind first before?
Hold on. Have you seen the Nate Bargatze sketches SNL has done a couple, and he did one for like a Nashville Christmas thing where he comes on and he explains things, but then like... He's talking about the first is where he's George Washington and he's explaining what America's going to be. And he's like talking about the metric system and the standard system. We should, in Nate Bargatze fashion, come up with a name for the $1.25 amount so that it can be a dollar store. And a dollar just means $1.25 right now. Because that's like that is the heart and soul of inflation right there.
Mm-hmm.
You have the idea of a general store, a dollar general store, and it's not even a dollar anymore.
Well, Dollar Tree in particular, because Dollar General had already moved away from it long ago. But Dollar Tree was everything is a dollar.
And they had to change all their signage to say $1.25.
$1.25 now, except that the other, there's like a whole aisle that's all dollar plus.
Like, yeah, but so is Walmart.
Wow, amazing. I've never thought of this idea where I could spend more.
Dollar plus tree.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much what it is. But there are certain items that they say are still the best to buy at dollar stores.
Okay.
Number one, greeting cards.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
Do you ever look at the back of the greeting card when you get it, though, to find out?
Well, I only buy 99-cent cards.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you only buy them from the dollar store?
No. You buy them from Walgreens.
Because they're actually two for a dollar at the dollar store.
No, but I very rarely need to buy two gift cards at the same time.
That's true. Unless there's twins.
Gift cards or greeting cards?
Share that card. Share everything else.
No. No.
When I buy that 99-cent card from Walgreens and give it to both of them, it still is two for a dollar.
You know what you could do? Mm-hmm. Also, buy one card, rip it in half.
All right, Solomon.
Now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. Finally, this has some substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Violence.
Yeah, and not long ways. Not like down the crease. Right down the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Dollar store greeting cards are number one. Number two is gift wrap paper and supplies.
I wonder how cheap it is. I wonder if that stuff tears easily. Gift bags and stuff.
Gift bags are, that's where you get them. Yeah. I don't even know where else I've ever gone to get gift bags.
Other people's parties.
Yeah.
You going to keep that?
1,000%.
I've saved you
guys.
I'll
take that off your hands if you're just going to throw it away.
You have a family Christmas party and you're like sending your kid who's old enough but to be sneaky but young enough to look innocent be like, go get that bag. Slip it in here.
I've never done that.
Get the bag. Go get the bag.
You're the one who taught me that.
No, I didn't.
You were doing that at my daughter's birthday party.
That sounds like something I would do.
I know.
You're not doing that.
You're not sure if that's real.
I did not do that. I can tell you were making that up. I will say this, though. My kids have gotten to the point where they're old enough now, 10, 10, and 7, where they're actually asking us ahead of time, can you do less gift bags? We like the wrapping paper.
Christmas, we don't put a single thing in a gift bag unless it's... unless it's like a one-off, like not a gift exchange. Like if you're just bringing something for somebody, it's going to be in a gift bag. But if it's a sit-down event of opening things, it's wrapping paper all the way. Birthday gifts, here's your gift bag.
Do you ever put multiple gifts in one gift bag? Like, here, I got you some batteries and socks.
Not for my kids.
Oh, man.
No,
I will literally
look at our kids' presents and be like, gosh, Jensen needs one more gift. Go get her some socks. And then you put the socks in there.
Uh-huh.
You find something practical and you wrap it.
I tell you what, when we, you know, a few weeks back, Christmas time, I should have said that one of my favorite Christmas traditions was being retaught how to wrap every year, because that is something that my mom and now my wife have to do every single year. No,
Can
not
I
my skill at all.
I
just forget.
My husband and I used to get frustrated because I'm the gift buyer, and it's just not like... He's good at brainstorming things, but he's not going out and thinking big picture of everything we need to buy, i.e. spend money on. So I'd buy all these things, and then he'd end up wrapping them, and sometimes I would get frustrated because I was doing so much of the buying and everything. And then one year, we decided he doesn't mind and is good at wrapping presents, and I'm good at buying them. So I just do the buying. He does the wrapping. We each are doing what we're good at, and we are grateful for each other for it.
That is amazing.
That's
that
a classic,
you found somebody that could do that.
A classic, tell me what to do, honey.
Yes, and in both, like if he needs help wrapping, I can help him, but it's mostly me just saying, okay, this is for this person. This is for this person, and he just goes like a machine.
I would think 9 out of 10 people would be better at the buying part. And then finding that one person who's the rapper,
but it's
you've
not
really
just,
found
it's
something
special.
It's
not just finding the right gift to buy, it's budgeting.
So many people have come to me as a person who's written books and said, you know what, I really have a lot of great ideas for books. I need somebody to write it. Yeah.
Why don't you just
you
say
and
what
everybody
you want
else.
To say? Why don't you just say what you want to say?
I don't want to say anything.
Okay. Why don't you just tell people where they can buy your book?
I didn't even know.
Plug it alone.
Do you?
Amazon.
On Amazon?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. What are they called?
The segment's almost over.
Cleaning supplies. Other things from dollar stores that you should be buying is cleaning supplies like Ajax and Fabuloso.
What
country are we in?
Purple Fabuloso is fantastic.
Right?
Cleaning. That's what we clean our floors with.
See? Fabuloso. And Pine Glow.
It's really enthusiastic.
GLO. No W on it, because it's a dollar store.
I think that's just the name of it.
You lost the W with the deal. Toothpaste is another one, and party supplies. Hair accessories I wouldn't know anything about, and I'm trying
Why?
To get to the last
Why not?
Couple because of my lack of it, although I do braid my leg hair now.
Gross.
What about reading glasses? That one's on the list that you should buy at a dollar store.
I don't know why you're looking at me, old man.
I don't know either. I don't use those. And dog toys. Dog toys?
I don't know if I would buy dog toys. No, I wouldn't want cheap dog toys that would fall apart. My doggy would choke on them.
Braiding your leg hair?
It's time to go to break. Dory Murdoch went to California, saw the fires, and is going to report back. And Coach Lou Holtz at 120.